go.
Nah, we're not doing the go thing, like where we go, oh, okay, go, and then we don't go.
Okay.
We've done it. It's not the
three?
Well, no, I'm just tired of you know, the being cute kind of thing.
All right. I've had that problem for a long time.
Being cute?
Yeah.
No, no, I don't mean in a good way. I don't mean like, you know, that twinkle in your eye.
Okay.
I mean like being clever.
Right.
Yeah. We're all done with that.
Okay.
Leave the clever at home.
Okay.
Roll it. Hello and welcome to episode 341 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam. Ready.
I think I spoke a little faster on that opening because we should get this going. Last week went long.
But we had an awesome title for it.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was it?
Topicless.
Oh yeah, the topicless episode.
Yeah.
I was looking for some pictures of me on the beach, but...
That's exactly what I was saying. I was surprised that the album cover wasn't you in a bikini.
It was... Well, no, it would be no bikini. It'd be just,
well, you
just
throwing
the
bikini, yeah.
Yeah. No, I did not think it was appropriate.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Did you?
Well, you know where to draw the line, apparently.
Yeah. This one time. I got lucky this one time. Yeah. So I stole from Naomi Klein instead. Maybe that was worse. I don't know.
Okay.
Amazon.
Yeah.
I bought nothing this week, so if you bought something, let us know.
I didn't buy anything that I can think of. My wife may have bought something, but I'm pretty sure she doesn't click through, so.
She doesn't click through?
Probably not. I've told her a zillion times. But
if you
I'm
just
gonna...
bookmark it, if you click through once and then bookmark that, every time you just click on that thing, it goes right through, clicks through us.
I should do that because she just got a brand new computer this week.
If she didn't click through, I'm going to send her some nasty mail.
Okay, she'll spam it.
No, mail.
Oh, real mail. Okay, send her some.
Yeah. I don't know what it is yet. I wish I had a real zinger there.
Okay, she brand new computer just like 3 days ago, so I'm sure nothing's bookmarked on it. Well, her district, all the teachers get MacBook Airs, I think. They do them on a lease for 2 years. So she just got a brand new, I'm going to say it's a MacBook Air, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. They still she make had a those? MacBook. I don't know. I'm not up on the laptop computer models.
I kind of stopped too. I stopped. Yeah. I used to be the guy who cared about the Apple announcements, and now I'm the guy who does not care.
Okay.
Yeah. I still like Apples. I still use one.
Although they've announced, I mean, at the last big whatever, they announced pro models of new iMacs coming in the, are you going to be in the works for something like that? Like their super powered pro level iMacs that can do ridiculous things apparently, like be your friend and maybe drive you to work, stuff like that.
I have no friends and don't really have a job, so I'm set. No driving.
Okay.
Necessary.
Okay.
No, I don't. I'm, you know, I might need it. Might every once in a while you need a new computer, like every 10 years or something like that. I don't know what it is.
Okay.
And so I could see it coming that I need one, but on the other hand, meh, everything's working.
Yeah. My computer's hanging on by a thread, so I'm not going to buy one of the ridiculous pro ones because I don't need that, but
right.
I probably will buy a new iMac at some point, and I'm waiting for the newest version to be on the shelves because they've announced the new Macs as well. I don't know if they're in stores yet. I don't think yet. But
see, the computer I'm recording this on right now, I bought it in December of 2008.
Right.
So, I mean, it for a lot of things, and obviously I can't run the latest operating system on and all that, but for what we're doing here, perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My other computer is a little bit newer. I'm going to say 2012.
Yeah, mine's 2010, the one I'm working on. But it's kind of hitting the end of its line.
Mm-hmm.
Even with what we're doing here, not so much what we're doing here, but more the editing, the Lightroom, the Photoshop. It really starts to lag, and so depending on what I'm doing, if I'm just surfing the web or if I'm podcasting, it's fine. But yeah, when I start to do editing, it slows me down significantly.
And because you have the iMac, I use MacBook Pros, the laptops, because I need to be able to be mobile. If I didn't, I would also have an iMac. But one of the downsides with yours is, I understand it's insanely difficult to switch out the hard drive on your own.
Yeah, I looked at it, and it's not something that I'm going to be able to do on my particular model. It depends on what model you have. If you have a 2012 or later, I think it becomes exponentially easier in terms of how they've made it accessible. But the earlier models, mine included, ridiculously difficult and painful from the YouTube videos I've watched. And I think I'd, in all likely, waste a bunch of time, be frustrated, and wreck the computer all in one fell swoop. So I probably will just opt to...
Just wreck the computer.
Well, I'll probably skip
that first bit.
Well, I'd probably just opt to upgrade my computer and save myself the trouble.
Yeah, yeah. Because generally what the move is, and what I did with my newer 2012 laptop, is swap out the hard drive for an SSD, and wow, life was better.
So, and I think if I would have to do that through a dealer, and then the cost of doing that probably doesn't make much sense. So yeah,
no, forget it. All right, what's going on, Adam? You gave me a huge baseball update with
Jack. You know, I gave it to you before because I don't think everybody else cares or needs to know, but
no.
We went camping. We talked about I was going last time, so we went camping.
Did you shoot anything interesting whilst camping?
Not really, no.
Okay, then let's hear about camping now then. How was camping? Did it rain?
Camping was perfectly beautiful. The weather has been nothing but sunshine. So, no, that part was great.
The over-under.
Yeah.
How many days you go for? How many nights?
Two nights,
which means two campfires. Four of you in just your family.
No. There's another family.
Yeah,
as well.
But I'm only for the purpose of this conversation. It's just I'm just considering your family.
Yeah.
So the four of you, two nights. I'm going to put the over under at 13.5, and I'm taking the over on how many s'mores you ate.
I ate zero s'mores.
Mm-hmm.
I did eat 13.5 marshmallows.
No, I'm talking about your family, the three of them, not you. Did they exceed, 11.5?
Yeah, something like 13
and a half.
I took
the over.
They went under. No, they went under.
Really?
I'm going to say two per person, so that would be 2, 4, 6.
Mm-hmm.
S'mores, like probably, you know, like they didn't have that both nights. Mostly marshmallows. It was less s'mores, more marshmallows, I think.
I'm going to say they hot marshmallow talk.
Yeah. So there was marshmallows, but not a lot of s'mores. We did make, I think probably the s'mores were reduced by the fact that we, on the second night, we did what's called campfire cones. Have you done these?
Maybe, basically, but we don't call it that.
You basically take a ice cream cone shell, and you fill it with whatever goodies, marshmallows, chocolate, whatever you've got in your toolkit. And then you wrap it in tin foil, and then you cook it on the fire, and then you pull it out. It's just, you know, the cone keeps all the goodness all melty inside, and then you just eat that. So that replaced s'mores. So if you want to count that as three s'mores, then the over wins.
Yeah, I'm going to. That's a technicality.
Okay.
Yeah.
So two s'mores on the first night and campfire cones on the second night.
Got it. All right. Yeah. Write it down.
Okay.
And the tent was good.
The tent was good. Did not take a whole lot of camping photos. I brought the RX100 camera, so it's tough going at nighttime because the ISO after ISO, I'm going to say 1600, is just ridiculously bad in low light. Mm-hmm. So, and I don't know. Shooting everything wide open is fine, but then you're always on a wide angle. So I did some of that. I shot some wide open so that you could get enough light and got some campfire photos, which are nothing exciting. It's the kids, like the exposure and all that's fine. It's just the photos aren't very exciting, but I took a few of those. And We did go to the water park, which is at Cultus Lake, on the Saturday. Spent most of the day there. So I did snap a few fun photos at the water park. So I took some photos, but nothing that I'm going to, you know, frame and put on my wall.
Right.
Snapshots.
Gotcha.
Yeah. How about you?
All right. Well, in the what's going on department, we still did not play baseball this week. Had the week off.
Okay.
Big party in Tübingen. It was called the Stadtfest, where the whole old town just shuts down to, well, it always shuts down the traffic, but everyone just like they put up all kinds of booths and stuff and so.
So mostly people can drink.
Yeah, pretty drink and eat hot dogs and all kinds of different food. Like you get all kinds of different food. Huts pop up, you know. So my favorites to go when you go to this stuff, like you go eat. Like I like to go to the African place or the Indian place. Those are my two favorites.
Best African and Indian food in the world, Germany. Write it down. That's not what write it down, everybody.
There's actually a huge Eritrean community here in Tübingen, and they have a club and everything like that. And so they make authentic. As far as I can tell, I have nothing to base it against. They're not s'mores. That's all I know.
Okay.
But they have what they claim is authentic Eritrean food, and P.S., it's delicious. And so I tend to like to go that. Didn't end up having it, unfortunately.
Okay.
So I ended up working the Friday night. I was Brian Flanagan Friday night.
Is that a bartender?
Yeah, cocktail.
I that's a bad movie, and I couldn't remember his name. I thought that was the reference you're making, but I wasn't.
That's
sure.
A horrible movie that I love.
Okay,
yeah, it's great. The good thing about Tom Cruise is no matter how bad the movie, he is still good in it.
Plus, I love Elizabeth Shue. So
me too.
Yeah,
I think the whole reason I never went for her was out of respect for you because I thought you liked her.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's because of Adventures in Babysitting, I think.
Oh, see, I'm Karate Kid, Elizabeth.
Oh,
Shue.
That too. Yeah, Karate Kid for sure.
This is what the 80s were when like now it's all changed, I think. And it's funny we talk about that because that's kind of our topic today.
The 80s.
No, but how things have changed. And I look back at some of those movies. Like first of all, for the ladies, one of the biggest sex symbols of the 80s, like of guys, Kevin Bacon.
No.
Are you kidding? Was he not like he
Footloose?
Was
Footloose?
Yeah, he was in Footloose and a number of other things.
He's a horrible looking individual.
Yeah, but he was considered basically a sex symbol. And so it was a different time. And then you look at how Elizabeth Shue was then, like amazing looking.
Yeah.
However, just basically as Mother Nature made her.
Right.
You know, like I bet she didn't wear makeup, for crying out loud. That would not happen today. Like now you have a face tat and, you know, everything's augmented.
Right.
You don't have that. Like that's, but back then, forget it. Like she was like, yeah, I'm going to feather my hair, not going to put any makeup on, and blam, you know, I'm Elizabeth Shue. And who was the love interest in that? Ralph Macchio.
Yeah. Also amazing looking.
Yeah. No.
No. Oh, really? Good looking guy.
Nah.
Oh, he's good. Come on.
He was fine, but, you know.
All right. He's no Mr. Miyagi.
Good point. You know, I was going to say one of the Corys. However, I forget how we got sidetracked onto.
Elizabeth Shue's really good looking. That's what Elizabeth the topic Shue. Of this episode is.
It's a love letter to Elizabeth Shue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the one with Nicolas Cage?
Where in Las Vegas.
Oh, loved her in that, too.
Yeah, yeah, she's good in everything, turns out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to call her. Is that okay now? Like, you're married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My wife would be fine with it, too.
See, so would mine. I think my wife would understand, even though she has no idea who she is. Yeah. My wife's 14, so, you know, it makes it weird.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways... Baseball. We didn't play. I was a bartender. That's what it was. So I made drinks all night. Made mojitos. Everyone here loves mojitos for some reason.
Including my wife.
Well, no, I like them too. In fact, I was on a policy of every time I made one, it was like one for you, one for me. So by the end of the night, I was either making mojitos or I was just laying in the back in my own, you know, tears. I don't remember what happened at the end.
Okay.
No, but I enjoy the mojitos as well, but they're wildly popular. And so I ended up spending the night making mojitos. But beforehand, was just me and my daughter walking around enjoying the Stadtfest. And you know what 6-year-olds like? Not African food. So you're not getting curry, you're not getting Eritrean food, you're basically getting hot dogs.
Right.
So I did not get to partake.
Do they run out of grilled cheese sandwiches?
They don't. That's not huge. That's not a thing here. Grilled cheese. Oh, I brought it here.
You should.
Yeah. I did, and they love it. And I was like, wow, how did you not think of this? Melted cheese on bread.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I can somehow do like a grilled cheese pretzel sandwich, that will be the thing.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. The pretzel bun grilled with cheese.
Okay, I'm going to cut this part out because someone's going to steal this wonderful idea.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, so baseball is back on tomorrow. By the time you hear this, we will have played and probably swept because that's our plan.
Okay.
But we're playing tomorrow, road game. Tomorrow we're going to Ulm. Birthplace of?
I have no clue.
Einstein.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I just learned something.
Yeah, that's it. Born in Ulm. So, and it's right on the border of Baden-Württemberg, which is the state that I live in, and one called Bavaria, which you've heard of.
Because of their eclairs.
No.
No, they're cream.
Sure, Bavarian cream. Yeah. Yeah, I guess I don't think that's even a thing here. That might be a North American
We made it
thing.
Up. Yeah, we made it up.
It's possible.
Yeah.
You know. You
Good
know,
cows
BMW,
over there.
BMW, they do. They do. But you know BMW?
Yes.
Bavarian Motor Works, essentially. That's where that is. They're in Bavaria.
Okay.
So you do know something.
Sure.
You've heard of Munich.
Yep.
It's in Bavaria. I don't live in Bavaria.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Monthly challenge for the month of July is summer part 2.
Right, I still haven't done this, so I'm kind of it's getting tight now.
I was hoping to do mine this week, actually, to get out ahead of it. Because what do you do in the summer? You go to the pool, right? For us, we go to the pool.
Mm-hmm.
But my son has had an earache, an ear infection, and thus turns out you can't go to the pool when you have an ear infection and you're 3.
Okay,
which I think is fascism. But so we haven't been to the pool all week, and so maybe next week I'll get mine next week. Spoiler alert: it's probably going to involve the pool.
Okay.
Anyways, put it on Instagram, hashtag it Two Hosers Monthly Challenge, and we'll take a look.
Is it due next weekend or the one after that?
Next one, no. The one after, no. The one after that, yes.
Oh, I got tons of time.
To disappoint us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, just a reminder, it is summer. The summer mulligan. We should just call it the mulligan.
Right, and for those 5 or 6 participants out there who take part, you've got 3 weeks. Or
yeah.
2.5 or whatever.
Do you know what a mulligan is?
Yes. It's
No,
when
you do. You do. I know you do.
It's a do-over.
What do you call it? Like, would you have a slang word for the mulligan? Even though mulligan is a slang.
Nope. That's just a mulligan.
Like when you're golfing with your buddies, you don't go, hey, man, yeah, go ahead. Take a Terry David.
No.
You never done that?
No.
You're gonna.
Okay. Now
taking,
I am.
Taking my Terry David. Taking my TDM is what I'm taking.
Okay.
That's his name. Yes, that's if you're cool, you can call him TDM.
Okay.
If you don't know what we're talking about, just Google. Google Terry David Mulligan. Daring you. Okay. All right. Shoot anything interesting. You said no.
No, I didn't. Unless you count bad pictures at the water park and camping.
Not interesting.
Okay.
I was tasked by my wife.
Yes.
To shoot a group photo of my daughter's kindergarten class.
Why?
Well, she hates me.
Okay.
And this was it. This was easier than a divorce.
Okay, I gotcha.
No, for her. For her it was. For me it was not. I'd prefer to get divorced, actually, and live on the street than do this again. What? Why? Why?
Yeah.
What you do? What is your problem, kids? What is your problem?
So how many kids?
10 kids and the teacher.
Okay, and is this indoor or outdoor?
Whatever I wanted, but it ended up being, well, it was outdoor.
Okay.
So it was great. So no, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, did you have, like, were they dressed for picture day kind of situation?
They were fine. They knew ahead of time. They knew 2 weeks out to be here on that day ready for pictures.
Oh, okay.
So the deal is, it's not even just, oh, hey, get a picture of the kids. You know, that would be cruel enough. But it was, all right, here's what we need. We essentially need 13 pictures. That's what we need.
What?
Yeah. We start doing the math here. It's like, all right, well, we're gonna make a calendar, because this is their last year in the kindergarten. They go to school next year, right? Because kindergarten isn't in school here.
Right.
Kindergarten is a thing. I mean, you know, it means kids' garden in English, you know?
Sure.
And so next year, my daughter actually goes to grade one, so she goes to the whole new school directly. Anyways, whatever. They're kind of like, so in a week from now, they're done graduating from kindergarten, which I'm sure there actually is a party. And I'm like, all right, if someone gets a, what do you call those little hats? Come on. There's no diplomas, please. Anyways, point being, they said, okay, here's what we need. We need a picture of all of them together with the teacher to post up, basically frame and put up in the kindergarten like they have all the past years.
Right.
Right. Done. Okay, that I get. We're also going to make a calendar for the teacher as a thank you for, you know, not losing any of our kids in the woods. So we're going to make a calendar. So there's 10 kids, and that means we need 10 headshots. So everyone's gonna make a, I don't know, write down what they like the best about kindergarten on a piece of paper, and then we're going to paste their picture on it or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest, I wasn't listening to all of that.
Okay.
My wife will handle that part, but it's like, okay, so I need basically a headshot of each of the kids, which I was like, yeah, all right, that's fine. That's easy enough. But also we need now to fill out the calendar, 12 months. So this January is going to be a picture of all the kids together without the teacher.
Right.
And then December is going to be the same picture, but all the kids are waving like goodbye kind of thing. Right?
Right.
So that's three pictures there plus the 10 headshots. It turns into a bit of a day. And the kids don't cooperate.
Right.
They don't. I mean, some of them are fine. Like my daughter's excited because like she's well-versed in this. So it's kind of – normally she won't participate, but now she's kind of – she has the inside track, right? She knows how this all goes. She knows that that's the umbrella. And she'll tell all the kids, no. That's not for the rain. That's not a rain – Reagan Sherm. It's not a rain umbrella. That's for the light, guys. Don't mess around. So she's kind of in her element a little bit.
Yeah.
In bossy. I mean, by that I mean bossy. Anyway, so the weather did not cooperate at all. They wanted to do this outside. So all morning, we're shooting at 11 o'clock in the morning, but the entire morning from like 7 until 10:59, it is just overcast and cloudy. And which is the same thing. I don't know why I said and cloudy.
Right.
So I'm thinking, oh, this is great. Like, this is perfect. I'll bring a light. We'll throw it in an umbrella. One light, just boom, fill it in. Well, at 10:59, the wind picks up and blows the clouds away. So now we're shooting at, you know, noon, essentially. That beating down sun. But it's still windy, and so my umbrella is behaving as a sail.
Right.
But I had brought two sandbags for it because it's not my first rodeo.
Mm-hmm.
So the sandbags actually held it nice and firm. So that was great. However, still had to battle the sun. And so, in short, managed to find a little bit of open shade, not what I wanted, not even close to what I'm capable of. And then, even then, I don't understand why it's hard for 10 kids to look at the camera at the same time.
Yeah.
They can't do it.
That's tough sledding, yeah.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, look at me. No. They're just wandering. Like, hey, what is over there? what is and what stinks? I'm going to make a stink face and look over there. You know, and then again, there's like essentially, I think it's like three boys and nine girls. And so one of the boys is fine. The other two are just complete disruptive. Well, I don't want my daughter to be dating them at some point. That's what I'm telling you.
Okay.
And so I'm already poisoning her. Anyways, so yeah, so they want to do what, you know what dabbing is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's all they wanted to do in the picture.
Oh, sweet.
Hey, you're six. Why don't you just stand there and don't pee your pants? That's what I need from you right now. Yeah. No, we're going to dab. So I'm like, all right. So you're that's it. That's your picture now. So no, I didn't shoot anything interesting.
Okay.
Photo all challenge right. This week is wide. Why? Because why not?
Why not?
All right. Let's do yours first this week.
Okay.
Did we do yours first? No, we did mine for... Yeah, okay.
I can't remember.
What's going on here?
Well, I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
It looks like water slides.
Water slide.
Can you bring an inflatable raft down the water slides?
This water slide is all inflatable raft. It's a raft water slide. They have some... This is Cultus Lake Water Slides, which is about an hour and a half from Vancouver, and it is awesome. Like,
do you still have the free fall one?
Oh, yeah. The last time I was here, though, was probably 15 years ago, and the park has doubled inside. Might even be more than doubled inside. There's so many different slides, including this one. I have some cool photos of me and the kids on this kind of racetrack one where you go on like a little foam mat, and it's five across, and you all go at the same time. There's five different like lanes, and you race. Of course, I win every time because I'm the heaviest.
Obviously,
aerodynamically
speaking.
But they have one that a big slide there, which is called the Colossal Canyon, and five people go in this giant tube, kind of like Grizzly River Run at Disneyland
for
California Adventure.
Yeah.
But they have one like that that's super fun too. But yeah, this one is, you can sit up to four in a row this way. I elected to sit this one out so I could take a shot of the kids and my wife coming down at the end. And normally I would have shot this as a close-up, but I thought, hey, for the photo challenge, I'm going to take a wide shot. So I actually shot this in landscape mode, but there's so much stuff around where I've cropped this that I did not like posts and... You know, just other distracting external sort of structures that I thought, it's still in my mind wide, and I'm going to shoot it more as a 4x6 upright composition.
So before we get into the photo, what does it cost to get into this park?
Going to say...
$28.
Yeah, something like that. Just under $30 or okay. $30. I'm pretty sure for four of us, it was about $120.
All right. Worth it?
Totally worth it.
Okay.
We stayed there for a long time and got a lot of sliding done. And I mean, I compare it to other family outings of a similar cost, like Playland or whatever. This is super awesome summer fun. We got the absolute best day for it. We had a blast. The kids loved it. Totally worth it, in my opinion. I wouldn't go every weekend, but right. As a once-a-year trip, 100% worth it.
But at that price, and that's just what I'm thinking, like I think that's about right, because if it was $12, you'd get three slides in the day.
Yeah, it's one of those things that by midday, we went for opening, and just like Disneyland, the first hour and a half in the park, you're just going on everything, there's no problem. By about 1 o'clock, because the weather's so nice, and this is, you know, prime territory for weekend tripping and camping. Yeah. And like Cultus Lake is a very popular destination spot for weekend trippers or even just day trippers. So by the middle of the day, it's just packed in there. So everything slows down. So definitely get there early if anybody ever goes to this water slide.
All right, the picture.
Yeah, it's just I tried to catch an action shot.
At first, I thought, meh. However, I looked at it for a while. I did do the service of looking at it for a while.
Okay.
And it grew on me.
It grew on me too.
Why?
I'm not.
I'm a spoiler alert. That's not going to grow on you. You like that right away. No, see, that's the thing is just to skip ahead and then get right back. My picture grew on me as well.
Okay.
So I was. That's kind of why I felt inspired to, you know, give you your day in court. And at first I was like, well, you know, this isn't really a thing. This isn't anything. But then it did. Now it is a thing. It is, for me, it's not something that you'd normally shoot.
No.
Like, you would never take the time, but the context here is important. I really like it. And at first I thought, well, why would you shoot them there? Like, they're going to slide down. They're going to hit that. Maybe they're about to enter the go out of the shade and into the light at the, like, yeah, sort of at the elbow of the slide. Maybe that would be a better spot.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't. I mean, I don't know. Is the shadow what we're seeing? Is that the shadow of them?
The shadow that you're seeing
in front of them, is that their shadow, or what is that?
I think it must be shadow from the track, from the right. tube track above. Yeah,
because then it ends.
Yeah, but look, it's the curve of the track, right? Yeah.
So you know, I thought, well, you know what? In all honesty, if you'd shot the picture, you know, shot it when they were at the bottom, they'd be still be going fast, and they'd rule of thirds would come into play. Like, that's kind of where you would look. Even though it's very rare that you use the rule of thirds and put your subject in the bottom, like, left third, it doesn't happen very often. Like, normally, yeah. like an eye is very rarely down there. It's usually the top left, top right. But I thought that would be better. But no, I would have been wrong.
I did shoot that picture too, but they hit. There's water at the bottom there, mm-hmm. and so then the splash comes up and it obstructs their faces. Plus, from this angle, I'm standing. When they hit the bottom there, you can't see all three of them clearly.
Okay.
So I did a few test shots when they're on the way down. And number one, kind of like I imagine, like the roller coaster camera, it goes at this spot because this is where you get the best expressions. Because right. this is where the real drop is. Number one,
at this resolution, we can't see that.
Yeah, if you zoom it in, like I'm looking, obviously, mm-hmm. I was looking at it under full resolution. Jack, that you've got three very distinct expressions, and I could crop it and resend it to you so you can see their mm-hmm. expressions. But Jack is super happy, smiley, excited. Sarah's eyes closed, looks like she's, you know, gonna pee herself. And Lisa has sort of the in between, super exhilarated, like woo kind of face, mm-hmm. and again that's why typically you would shoot this as a close up for their reactions, but yeah, I did it more of a contextual shot.
Yes, and I mean, obviously the challenge was wide, so you had no choice. But in this case, I think that's great because it kind of forced you. I don't think if the challenge was wide this week, I don't think you would have shot this.
No, definitely.
And I kind of like it. Now, I like what's going on because there's nobody else on the track. There's all the people waiting to go down. And here is why, in my head, you absolutely captured it at the right moment. Because if you look down at the bottom of the picture, you can see their reflection in that little pool of water.
Yeah, I know, and I didn't notice that either until I had looked at it for a long time. So mm-hmm. that's funny that you noticed that too, because yeah, that was something that I didn't pick up right away.
Well, it's kind of rare that I bother to look at your photo for more than half a second. But I figured, okay, I'm going to do that this week because there's something else here, and when there is this kind of detail going on, I think there is something else here. So, you know, I'm glad you shot this wide.
There you go.
All right. And now, before we talk about mine, I had a really hard time with this. And now I'm not sandbagging it so that you'll tell me how awesome I am. I know how awesome I am.
Okay.
I fully had something else planned. I was going to use my new little pretend GoPro and shoot something wide at the pool. Probably underwater, something cool like that. But as I mentioned, we did not go to the pool. Weather was great this week, but my son's ear was not. And it turns out you can't really go to the pool with your 3-year-old son and tell him, stay out of the pool.
Right.
He's going in. And my son is going in head first. That's his move. He's all about that.
Okay.
So there's no talking him out of that. So we just, as a family, we couldn't go. I went by myself every single day. But it turns out if you just show up by yourself at the pool and start snapping pictures of strangers, they don't like that. So don't do it. That's my advice to you. Don't just sneak a tiny little hidden camera into the pool and start firing away.
Right.
Yeah. which I did not do. I was smart enough to know not to do that.
Okay.
So I had to revamp. I had to say, okay, you know, what is it? Like, what do I want to shoot that's wide? And I actually shot this morning. I had something in mind last night. I was going to shoot something at or after baseball practice, but we went super late and then hung around for beers after. And so by the time I rode my bike home, it was pitch black. So I did have my camera, but there's nothing to shoot at that point. And so I shot this the day of. And this has kind of been the theme the last 161 challenges. Been the shooting at the day we record.
Okay.
So at first I was not happy with this. I thought, oh, you know what? I fulfilled my obligation. But then I looked at it a few more times and I'm actually pretty happy with it. Go. Tell me why I'm awesome.
I like it. These photos are always hard for me. Not I just mean wide angle shots of people close up, because it's that sort of distorted perspective, right? And so the first thing that jumps out at me is I'm thinking, wow, your daughter should be a boxer. She has massive man hands. Like, she just has, like, those hands on those bars, those would knock me out in a second.
Yeah, you have glass jaw, though.
And yeah, that's true. But so some of that, you kind of have to work your brain around the fact that, okay, you can identify really quickly that this is sort of a distorted perspective created by a wide angle shot close to a person, right? Because of her right foot is obviously much bigger than the left foot. And so we don't shoot portraits typically in this scenario. So once your brain kind of can do the math and figure out what's going on, then I love the clouds. The clouds make it for me. I mean, there's nice depth and the background and her placement in the frame is just right as far as, you know, everything kind of directs your eye towards the subject just based on the pathway and the crops and the clouds. But no, for me, if the sky was blah, I probably would think that there's nothing really here. But as soon as the sky sort of adds such a cool dramatic effect, and you know that it's natural light just based on the light that's on her face mixed with, you know, what you see going on here with the clouds, then, like I say, it's cool, and it's nice because it looks natural. If you had thrown a flash in here and really lit her up, I actually think that's sort of sometimes our instinct is to make it like totally, you know, add to the drama and really light her perfectly. I wouldn't like it as much. So.
I had toyed with that idea because originally, like, this is me and my kids going to kindergarten this morning.
Okay.
And so my son's already, he rode his bike. He's already behind me. And normally my daughter rides her bike too, but this day she just really wanted to take her scooter. It's a long story why, but it doesn't matter. And I said, okay, yeah, great, that's fine. But I'm toying with it. Like, so my kids were, I was up at 6 a.m. this morning, took them about 8:30. So I had 2.5 hours to contemplate the shot I was going to take. And in my head, I was like, you know what? I can't just take a snapshot. That's not good enough. The weather was kind of like a little bit overcast, like it is here. And I thought, you know what I'm going to do? Oh, man, we're going to ride our bikes. I'm going to take a flash on each, and I'm going to tape one to each of my kids' bikes, like at the pointing up at them. And so they'll be riding, and I'll have like that dark sky, and then boom, the flash is going to light them up.
And they're going to crash into a bush.
Yeah, but as long as I get the shot first, whatever. Right. You know, they have helmets. We're fine.
Yeah.
But I thought, oh, that is good. You know how cool that's going to look? And then I took a step back and thought, it's not going to look cool at all. That's not a thing. That doesn't look, it's not like, I wanted something that could be legit. This is us going to kindergarten, except for a wildly different perspective. And 100% of the photos I have up till now of them going to kindergarten or riding their bikes or scooters along this path are shot with the 70 to 200, for example.
Yeah.
And everything is shot, and you know, and you've seen, I've had challenge pictures of them riding on this road before.
right.
with that lens. And it's a wildly different photo. And I thought, why not? Why not shoot this? Like, have her come by. And she is literally, you know, millimeters from the camera. This is the 5D Classic with the 17 to 40 at 17 mils.
Right.
At an F8 to make sure there's a great depth of field. And I'm lying on the ground on my stomach. Just like the camera just off the ground pointing up so that when she kind of rolls by me, I can get that exact perspective. And at first I thought, you know, okay, so I like the perspective of the you know, the pathway going down. I like the corn on the right-hand side. Like it's kind of, you know, pretty rural.
Mm-hmm.
Not an easy word to say. And then she came by me and I have one shot. Like I shot like a burst here. And it's one shot, like, you know, a split second beforehand where she's not quite as close to me. And you can see the whole scooter, and I didn't like it. There was something about the scooter being a little bit out of frame that, to me, said, she's moving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is kind of a little discomforting. And maybe I've gone too far on this. I swear to you, I took this picture and thought, well, I fulfilled my obligation. Check. And then after like a half an hour of kind of looking at it while working on it and whatnot, I came to sort of appreciate it a lot more. And the clouds were a massive save. Like that was remember we talked a long time ago about the save, how to mm-hmm. bring, like it was blown out. The details were blown out. So I basically had to, you know, push the shadows up to 100%, crank the highlights to minus 100%, and then adjust the exposure accordingly. And even then, add a brush. I had to brush in the sky to make it do that. And I agree, the sky kind of saves this picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the sky's pretty key here. If it was just blown out clouds, I agree, would not be nearly as good.
Yeah. There you go. So
good job, man.
If you work for Avigo, call me. We'll do some licensing.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Topic this week. We're going to have one. We can't go topicless 2 weeks in a row. That's how you get a sunburn.
Right.
So I haven't even told you yet what the topic is.
No, I'm on pins and needles.
It's Elizabeth Shue.
Yes, I knew it.
No, but it does. It's funny that it ties in with that because my question to you is, and this has been sort of not in this exact phrase, but it's been posed to me: is romance dead?
Is romance dead?
Not okay. Hang on. Not in the relationship.
That's a tough question.
No, but not in the relationship sense.
Okay.
But I mean in the macro, like the whole romantic idea. For example, I'll be more specific to help you out.
Okay.
In terms of photography, but here's one where I can really identify with it is with travel. Is it dead? And okay, I feel like I got to give you a little bit more rope.
Yep.
To hang yourself. Okay. In the days of film, pre-digital, when you were traveling, if you went somewhere, you would probably not you, but you know your parents or whoever, they would shoot a few slides. Be very selective of what they shot. And then when they got back, maybe set up the projector at the house and show their friends. And have a story for each picture. And that was the thing. That's what people did in the 70s and the 80s. I think.
Sure.
Your folks didn't do that?
No.
No slide projector?
No.
I know people with slide projectors. We weren't one of them. We shot negatives and had albums, but a lot of people like essentially would shoot this. You know, hey, here's want to see the slides of my vacation. And people did. You'd sit down because essentially there'd be 36 pictures, and then you'd play. I don't know. You play gin rummy and drink too much, and that was your night. But now, when you go on vacation, or you see other people go on vacation, you see repetitive snapshots on Insta. By repetitive, I mean everyone who's been to Angkor Wat has shot that same picture and put it on Instagram, right? But these people are putting it on Instagram as they are traveling. So the question I ask to you, Adam, and you have to answer this, otherwise it's just boring.
Okay, okay.
Are we being cheated? Should I have sent you the show notes ahead of time?
Do you have an answer to this?
Well, I do, but I'm
and I'm not sure.
Kind of arrogant.
I'm not sure if what you mean by cheated. Like we're missing out on something.
Yeah. Is it? Is the instantaneous part of it? Has that killed the romantic notion of, for example, travel photography?
Probably. I mean, for you, right? Because you, I think you romanticize about the notion of how things used to be. So in that sense, absolutely. Because it's too totally...
Wait, I do or we do? Like, are you saying me specifically?
More you, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I agree.
I'm in that group as well. But because I didn't do a lot of it pre 7 years ago, whenever we started this, and certainly my parents never did any travel photography of any kind, I understand where you're coming from, but I can't really say personally that I had ever had any previous experience with it outside of the way it is currently. So you're
but
a dinosaur.
No friends? I understand that. You have no friends who went somewhere and took a camera.
When I was a kid?
Well, or like for you. I mean, you and I are 3 years difference, maybe?
Yeah, I think for me, the closest thing I can say would be, you know, the sort of little instant camera you'd get at the drugstore. And so,
sure.
I don't know, is there a romanticism attached to that kind of photography? Because it was just more or less point and shoot just to say, you know, put it in an album to sort of say, here's what we did and here's what we saw. But it's on a totally different level. But now, and this kind of goes for almost all digital photography, there's just too much. So I don't know, the romantic notion is for me, it's killed by the fact that we've got 5,000 instead of 50, right? So
sure.
I think we just have way too much. Forget whether it's instantaneous and it's on Instagram or Twitter or whatever the moment
it
happens.
Having
it's all of it. It's
oversaturation,
just overkill.
Part of it.
Yeah. Now, what I witnessed when we were camping is, you know, and this is kind of a microcosm of the problem, is that, you know, there's three girls out in the lake floating around in a raft. And I was looking at taking a panoramic shot of the lake, thinking I might use it as a wide shot. So I was out there to do this. And first thing I noticed is, you know, three girls, they're probably in their early 20s and they're in a raft and they're taking a selfie of themselves floating around in the raft on the lake.
Yeah.
Like they've got their phone out and they're doing that. And right away I'm like, yeah, I'm not taking my photo anymore. Like it's just, to me, it's killed by the fact that this is what's going on around me. And that's everywhere all the time, whether you're at a baseball game, at a lake, at a, you know, at the Eiffel Tower, whatever. It's just all here I am here all the time. Right.
And that's what I mean about are we being cheated? Because, you know, there is that feedback loop created. And I understand that part of it is, all right, you're an old man. Me, not you. You two being the same age as me, essentially. But the reason this came up is one of the guys on my team who's quite a bit younger than me, like 16 years younger than me. And we were talking about that basically. He asked me, he said, you know, like one of his friends, a girl he knows, wanted to know how I met my wife. And so I told him the basic story. I met my wife in Australia. I don't know if I've ever told the story on the show, and I won't get into the whole, because it's a long story. It's another hour and a half, and I'm not going to do that. But I met her while I was traveling in Australia, pre-digital. Early digital. Because I met a girl on the trip from Denmark who had a digital camera. I'd never seen a digital camera like in person before. And this is 2002, February, March, 2000, April 2002. So she had like a Sony Mavica, like a 1 megapixel that wrote to a mini CD, and you had to charge the camera every 19 minutes and that kind of thing. But other than that, it was 100%. It was film. You shot film.
Right.
And so for me, that meant like when I traveled there, I was going for 8 weeks. You spend a week in Sydney and then travel up the coast for like 5 weeks, just up the East Coast. So that meant I brought two cameras. I brought a little point-and-shoot film camera, and I brought my, what do you call it, my SLR. And it ended up, I really didn't have room for the SLR to travel with. It was like I was really tight because I was just in a backpack the whole time. So I took the point-and-shoot, but took like 12 rolls of film and just kept them in my backpack. And as I, you know, finished them, then they went in the bottom of the backpack, and that was it. I carried them around until I got all the way back to Canada and had them processed. And that's when I found out, you know, how bad my pictures were.
Right.
But, you know, so there are good things to technology now. However, so I on that trip is when I met my wife. And it wasn't easy. Like we met and then connecting afterwards, because email existed in 2002, if you remember correctly.
Sure.
But it was still a problem. And so she was traveling up the coast separately, and we were making some of the same stops with a little bit of overlap, but we really had no way to get in touch with each other. And so it was 100% analog. I remember, you know, walking around the town of Arley Beach looking for her, hoping to bump into her. You know, which I did. I ended up doing that, which would be more stalkerish if I hadn't married her. So it worked out years later. But you know, and so it was very, very difficult for us to end up getting together and the entire story. It was we have a very, very, very romantic story. Through no fault of my own, I wasn't looking for a romantic story. My hair was going gray, and I wanted to grab a chair.
Right.
However, now my guy on my ball team, the young guy, is like, yeah. He's like, now we have Tinder. No, he was being legit. He's like, he was lamenting. Like, he's 27 or whatever he is, and he said, you know, where's the romance? And this is a dude who doesn't even care about romance.
Right.
You know, he's just some young dude who wants to meet chicks.
Right.
And so it's like, but even he is like, yeah, there's no more romance. So, like I said, in those terms, for me, again, another trip, just to backtrack and give it some more context. I get it. I get the idea of immediacy. I was on a business trip 2 years later. I was on a business trip to San Francisco. And my hotel room had internet, which in 2004 was kind of not a thing. Like every once in a while, it would happen, but it was like, oh my God, they have internet, like wired internet in the room.
Right.
By that point, I had a little 2-megapixel Nikon point and shoot. And so essentially what I would do, like, so on one of my off days on the business trip, I went to Alcatraz, because of course you do. It's awesome. Right. Have you been?
No.
Gotta go. It's awesome. I've been there 3 times to Alcatraz. It's great. I recommend it. But I'd snapped a bunch of pictures, and I thought, wow, like, I emailed a couple of photos to my friends and family, like, that day. I was in San Francisco, and I was already sharing my vacation pics.
Right.
Amazing. Not really. Like, when you look back, I thought, wow, I thought it was really cool in principle at the time, but it wore off very quickly. And yet, in the meantime, it has expanded until I know friends now who go on like, oh, here I am in Bali right this second. Okay.
It's the world we live in, and there's no going back. That's the problem.
It's true. You can't go home again.
No.
Like that's a theme. That's a topic that has been around forever. Like every generation deals with that. You can't, like for me, even like actually, I actually can't go home again. The Canadian government has said, please stop coming here. No, but going like the Vancouver that I left 10 years ago is no longer there.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So I get that you actually cannot go home again, and so I'm not suggesting that. Oh wow! Like how do we? Even though I now have two, I now own two Polaroid cameras. I'm not going to shoot exclusively Polaroid. I love my digital cameras, and I'm going to keep shooting them. I love technology. You know, I'm not saying this isn't even me saying, oh, film is better, man. You know, I don't consider myself like a Luddite where technology is brutal. However, I do feel like your life was probably better when you had no smartphone and microwave and cordless phone and Netflix and Spotify. But
yeah. And when we went camping, I mean, nobody used devices. So that was kind of nice. It was sort of an unplugged couple of days. Not ever specifically spoken like this is the rule of camping.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of applied. Like I said to my kids, like, there's no devices. I told them, but
right.
But it wasn't like, you know, the adults had communicated to each other and said, okay, you know, when we're sitting around the campfire, you can't have your phone out and be going over the internet. No, everybody just understood that, hey, we're doing something outside together. Let's do that. Let's talk to each other. Let's not, you know, web surf and whatnot. Yeah.
And how was it?
It was fine, but I mean, for me, I'm not a big device person as it is, so for me it's mm-hmm. much easier than it is I think for others. I think there's a lot of people that, you know, spend the majority of their time looking at their phone for one reason or another, whether it's work or whether it's social or whether it's leisure, whatever it is. But for me, it's not much of a thing as it is, so it's very easy. I'm the first one to sort of be on board with, yeah, hey, nobody look at a phone now for a couple of days.
As am I. And my wife and I, neither one of us own an actual like a smartphone. We both have the one, like, both of us get laughed at for our phones.
Right.
Like, if we whipped our phones out in 2004, we'd be laughed at.
Right.
They're from the late 90s. Like, legitimately. Yeah. Mine is, if you saw mine, I'll post a picture of it. I don't care. It's from the late 90s. And that's fine. And it doesn't matter. I don't use it. But I also don't want to be that guy who's like, you know, too far the other way. Like, you know, like I'm anti-cell phone, which I am. But I'm not. I'm trying not to lord it over everybody about, you know, how superior I am, because I don't need it. Like, I get them. I understand. They're pretty awesome. So this isn't a morality thing. But the other story that kind of tied it in was back in, this was 1997, so I can't believe it was 20 years ago. Coming up in September, it'll be 20 years. So I was telling this story to, again, the same guy, the other Canadian guy on our baseball team, the young guy. I say young.
Anybody who will listen to
26,
you.
Basically. Yeah, people on the bus who don't speak English. Still, doesn't matter. No, but I was telling him, so at the time, in at the end of 97, I used to work for the city. Right, hated my job, worked there for a number of years, hated it, one day quit. Like, just walked in, just, I could not stand my job. It was a great paying job, paid about three times what all my friends were making, but I hated it. Like, I just thought, oh, man. And then one day, the guy I worked with, the older guy, he said, you know, how old are you? And I was like, I forget the time, 23 or something like that, 22. And he said, well, you know, you should get on full time here because at the time I was seasonal. But he said, you get on full time, and then in 40 years you can retire. All right, then. And I walked in the boss's office that day and quit. I just said, at 4 o'clock, I just said to them, hey, boss, I'm not going to be in tomorrow. In fact, I'm never coming back. And he said, all right, that's fine. We don't really like your attitude, so. Pretty much what he said. And I said, okay. And so I walked out after 6 years of working there. So I must have been 23. Walked out of there after 6 years. And thought, oh, my, you know, what am I going to do? Well, at that time, one, a good friend of mine, you know him, had just finished playing a half season of baseball in independent pro ball down in Mississippi. And he was driving back home. He had driven down, and he's driving back home through going to visit his friend in Winnipeg. I promise this all means something.
Okay, I'm waiting.
So he goes back. He'd been in Winnipeg, left a bunch of his stuff in Winnipeg at his dad's garage. Drove to Winnipeg in a beat up 1986 Jetta with no brakes. No brakes.
Great.
Awesome. And then he said, "All right, well, this is again pre-internet. Like we had internet existed, but we weren't using it." And so I called him. He got in touch with me and said, "Yeah, I'm in Winnipeg. I'm heading home. I'm gonna stop in Saskatoon, where another buddy of ours had just flown in like the day before to go to law school. And I'm gonna go see him." And I said, "Well, I just quit my job. I'll fly in, grab a one way ticket. I'll fly in. You pick me up at the airport in Saskatoon. You leave Winnipeg, pick me up. We'll go and hang with him for the weekend and drive home. Done. Let's do it." And that was it. And I said, "All right, well, I'll phone you back in an hour with my flight." That was it. So I said, "All right, I'll see you tomorrow. I'll be my flight gets in at 1 o'clock scheduled in Saskatoon. Pick me up there." So you leave Winnipeg, and how far is that to drive? 12 hours?
I have no idea.
Probably. You leave, get me at the airport, and we'll go find him. Well, we don't know where he's going to be. He's playing in some softball tournament. We'll just find him.
Okay.
So it happened. So he did. He left Winnipeg, drove all the way, got a massive speeding ticket because he was speeding through Regina, where the RCMP have their headquarters. His speeding ticket was more than my plane ticket. But he did. It was an hour late. But you know what I did when he was an hour late?
Waited.
That was it. Played Tetris for an hour.
On your phone?
No. No, actually, actual blocks. I was just moving around.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, we had the 8-bit Tetris in the 25 cents a throw. But so I did that for an hour until he got there. Now, keep in mind, the Saskatoon airport isn't JFK. It's not huge. But he basically just found me, just rolled in. "Hey, man, let's go." Get in the car, drove to the campus, went around looking. "Hey, anybody you know, I'll call him Bob Johnson. Anybody know Bob?" "No, yeah, he's over there." And within half an hour, we found Bob Johnson. We didn't know where he lived. He didn't have a phone number, nothing. Just found him. We had nowhere to stay. If we couldn't find Bob Johnson, we were sleeping in the car. But we found him. He had broken his thumb, but still was continuing to play softball because that's what he did.
Right.
And so I told this story to my friend, and he said, "How did you do that without a cell phone?" Like, legit, he wasn't making fun. He was like, how did you make that happen without a smartphone?" "I don't know. We did."
Right. It's a very eerie, scary thought for a lot of people, I think.
So that's what I put to you. Is romance dead? Like, in that respect, like, this isn't romantic. We didn't all go make out in the car after.
Right.
But wow. I'm saying, like,
you're not going to tell us about that part.
All right, that's next episode. But okay. But what I'm saying is, in that, like, that romantic notion of you can just do that, drive a tenth of the way across the country of Canada and pick a guy up. There's no phone, nothing. There's no way to get in touch. You just do it. That sense of adventure and romance, is it gone, and are we being cheated?
Yes and yes.
That's your answer.
Yeah.
Okay. I agree. But I don't know what to do about it. I don't know how to instill that in my kids.
You can't. You can't. I'm sorry. That horse has left the barn.
But what now?
And deal with it.
Didn't every generation? What do you mean, deal with it? We all have to be just mush now?
Yep.
All right. And the end, said Adam.
Yep.
Yeah, nowhere left to go on this. All right. Photo challenge for next week. I promise you this applies to photography.
Okay.
Because of the whole, do I have to bring it home? Can you just figure out how to bring it home?
No,
You bring it home.
No, you can figure out. I'm saying to the listener, you can figure out how this attaches to photography. This wasn't a random thing I thought of, and just even though it sounded like it.
Okay, I have yet to make the connection in my brain.
But you didn't take pictures back in the day. You didn't take film pictures, you said. Like, did you even own a film camera?
No.
So if you were going to take, you would buy one of those disposable little cardboard.
Yeah, the little instant ones, yeah.
And your folks didn't have a camera?
Nope.
Really?
Really.
Wow.
We were not camera people. That's why there's like 7 pictures that exist of me, probably all taken by other people than my parents.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's the other extreme though.
Yeah.
Like my dad took a lot of pictures like back in the day, meaning that like he took 6 rolls a year. You know, 6 24s a year maybe.
Yeah.
So what does that work out to, 12 pictures a month?
Sure.
So I mean, if you compare that, that's a lot.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, obviously now and it's I get it.
Most of mine are ones. Most of the photos that exist of me as a child were either, you know, school photos,
mm-hmm.
or sport related photos, like from, you know, hockey picture day. Yeah. So that's 90% of the photos that exist of me.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. My dad's brother, so my uncle, he was into photography, film photography. He was kind of the family photographer, but he lived a couple hours away. So the other photos that exist of me were generally taken by him.
I see.
Yeah.
So there that's are some. It. I mean, yeah.
And he had a real film SLR. Like he was into it, and and so that's he was the family photographer. And now I've become the family photographer, not just for our immediate family, but all the extended family. Like, nobody really takes photos other than...
They still don't even whip their phones out?
Nope. They just look at me, yeah.
That's, yeah, I kind of a curse, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I get it. All right, so romance is dead. That's what you're saying. There's no more romance.
No more romance. No.
The end. Hashtag new sponsor, Tinder. Check us out. Check us out at Tinder. You can skip all that romantic nonsense. But it's funny because I don't live vicariously because that's a little bit sad. But, you know, I hear the stories and whatnot of the young guys and what they do and how they live their life and all that. And the one guy, you know, he does use the Tinder. To you know, meet it basically it's a shortcut, you know, mm-hmm. to meet girls. And so, you know, but he was the one who was a little bit envious of my story, right. You know, about the romantic nature of it. And I thought, wow, because that's weird.
I think if you only know one version, right? I think for maybe we should get a guest on the show who's been part of both, who was, you know, our age. Mm-hmm. And then is still single using Tinder now. So has experienced both the only way to meet girls was either at the bar or through a friend's house or a party or whatnot,
right.
Versus now having the ability to go on the phone. I'm willing to bet that most guys, this just goes for the male genre, because I kind of think I have a, you know, handle on how men think, are going to say that the new version, the digital version, is far preferable. There's much less awkwardness probably, and it's a much more direct line to meeting people than the romantic old school version. Now, I'm not saying one's better than the other. I think that guys would say that the modern version is preferable because
they're lazy.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly that. It's easier.
It is easier, but like, this is what I get into with I talk to some of the young kids, even the younger kids, the ones who are 19, you know, in that range. And well, imagine yourself. Could you imagine being 19 now and doing all your awkward dating while Facebook existed? Because we're both pre-Facebook. We were both either married or on the route to being married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When Facebook came about.
Yeah, I was married.
Yeah, and I was about to be married. I was on you know, marriage eve at that point. And so Facebook was never, ever, ever part of my single years.
Right.
And especially those, and specifically the young years, like you know, like if guys are single again in their 40s, it's a little bit, you're a little bit different. But when you're like 22 and sort of, you know, I cannot imagine having to deal with Facebook and specifically the pictures on Facebook. Who's that guy? What's you doing that guy?
Yeah.
Wait a second.
All their status is no longer listed as committed.
Yeah, or whatever it is, there must be so much. And they said, "Oh yeah, it's horrible. Like it really is. It can be terrible." Or even if you're in a relationship and you know the girl starts to ask, "Well, what are you doing with her? Who shit? Why'd she like your photo? Yeah. Like why would I want to deal with any of that?"
Yeah,
the answer is I don't. But on the other hand, I'm assuming Tinder is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
you know. And it's not what you think. Like he explained, no, it's not what you think, like what you expect on the news or something like that, where it's just, you know, snap your fingers and there you go. There's more to it than that. There really is. There's some subtleties involved. But
so next week's episode,
Tinder
tutorial on Tinder.
Yeah.
Tindering.
Yeah. How did Tinder win married? That's what I'm going to make it awkward. Mm hmm. So there's that.
Photo challenge
for next week. First of all, the monthly challenge is summer, the mulligan, summer mulligan. Do that again. Hashtag it with two hosers. Photo challenge. But next week, we did wide this week. Next week is telephoto.
Okay.
You know why? Because I couldn't think of anything else.
Well, why not?
Speaking of that, I have an idea for you to disregard entirely.
Perfect. I'm great at that.
I would like to open this up to the listeners. And now, them doing it.
To three of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. To your dad.
Who doesn't own a camera.
Can't even figure it out. No, no, no. I'm not opening that up. We have the monthly challenge for them. I am tired of thinking these up. Because okay. I do 100% of the 50%.
Right.
If... This is not going to happen. Let's be honest. No, we want to hear from listeners. Send in your suggestions for a photo challenge.
And then we'll disregard them.
We might disregard them.
Yeah, no, we'll take all suggestions, because after how many episodes are we on?
This is 341.
Yeah.
We didn't do it. I think we started on number 8, so take away 7 episodes of not photo challenge.
We've done a lot of them, and it's hard to find a photo challenge idea that's practical that we haven't done. And I've done some research on looking up common photo challenges on the web, and we've done them.
and we're going to repeat. It's okay. I don't mind repeating.
Oh, we've repeated them all like 4 times. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to think of something necessarily unique, although you can. But we're putting it out to the listeners. Get in touch with us however you decide, email or the comments or whatever, Facebook, Instagram, it goes on. Get in touch. Let us know if you have an idea for a photo challenge, and we'll disregard it.
I just thought of one. It doesn't... Is it better
than telephoto?
We've never done it.
Ooh.
But it's not particularly good.
Oh. For example?
Do you want to hear it?
Romantic.
No, not romantic.
Go.
Fun with filters.
Yes, can we telephoto still?
Blam!
Fun with filters?
Mic drop. Do you have a sound effect for that? I said that. That was off the cuff. Just that's how quick
what
on my
kind
feet
of
I am. That's up to you. Fun with filters.
Everybody filters
all the time. Well, there's digital filters.
Oh, speaking of the romantic thing.
Yeah.
Tying it back in and doing like the digital filter.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to do that.
Okay. Well, maybe I'm going to telephoto and have fun with filters.
Should we do it next week? You know what? I might throw it in there too. But we'll do telephoto next week. Anybody, listeners, have some ideas of what they would like to hear and challenge us, and we might use them. If we use your challenge, we'll read your name out on the air.
Hooray.
And also expect you to do it, though.
Okay.
Not expect you. Be nice if you did.
Fun with filters.
Is that really the challenge? No. I don't want to do the challenge.
Okay, telephoto.
Telephoto. I can do telephoto right now while I finish up the show.
I'm going to make a t-shirt that says Fun with Filters.
Yeah.
It's got four different pictures of myself. One sepia, one black and white.
Boy. Andy Warhol did that years ago. Turns out you're all set.
Okay.
All right. Monthly challenge done. All right. Next bit of business. Westbites.
Huh?
I meant to say websites, but I wrote down Westbites, so we're doing that this week.
Okay.
Bit of a typo.
AdamSchwartz.ca.
All right. You can find my stuff at AlanAtridge.com, the two of us at TwoHosers.com. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.